Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. Happy to be spending Saturday afternoon with you. For the magical subject of real estate, we love talking about it, we love thinking about it, we love doing all the things we can to make your world happy, and that's why we're here today. I'm Paul Jamison, owner of the Jamison Real Estate family of companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, and Jamison Property Investments, here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. Hey, Sandy.
Hey, Paul.
So nice to be spending Saturday with you.
Yep, it's always good.
Always fun. And my buddy George on the board today. Like the hammer, he keeps on coming back to hit us with more fun and enjoyment. Every time we're in the studio, like a bad penny, he keeps showing up even though he's retired. But thank goodness he's here. Shout out to my buddy TJ, who is in the healing mode, and hope he feels better quick. So, what are we going to talk about today? Well, you're not going to believe it. Let's just start out the show with what I learned this week. And I'm telling you, everyone I talk to right now is mad. They're not just mad. They're ticked off mad. Well, why are they mad? Well, let's start out with something that has nothing to do with real estate. However, if you want me to haul you around to look at houses, it does. And that is the price of gas. Ding! The price of gas is stupid. What in the world? And I do love my Toyota Tundra. And guess what my Toyota Tundra likes?
Gas.
Gas. And lots of it. But I will say this, when I go downhill, I let off on the gas, and it does glide farther than the little Honda that I have because of all that weight behind it. So I do try to make it up every now and again, and I did change the air in my tires last week, so it is running at a more efficient level.
You changed the air in your tires.
I was wondering if anybody would pick that up. Haven't you heard that joke, Sandy?
I haven't done that yet.
About the guy that's wife really made him feel stupid. So he said... He said, hey, by the way, this week I want you to go down to the gas station and get the air changed in your tires. So she took the car down there and went up to the... So I think they're divorced now. Anyway, it's brutal, all right? And here's what else I noticed this week. It wasn't something that ticked people off, but it was kind of odd. And that is, haven't you noticed that the gimmicks are increasing and they just kind of keep coming out, right? Gimmicks, loss leaders, do this and you get that. Oh, terms and conditions apply. You know, I got caught in a gimmick yesterday on Facebook. Had all these guys with these six-pack cut abs doing these exercises and all this kind of stuff. Yes, I clicked the button and I bought the workout. And it was $15 and they did a personalized plan for me. I've done harder pinky workouts than the workout that cost me $15 to do. And then the guy's on there going, 3, 2, 1, go. And then I look at a really lame workout. So, yes, the gimmicks are out there and they're crazy. But let me tell you about this gimmick. This is a fact. This is not smashing. This is fact. I'm citing fact. Open Door sent me a letter that said my home was worth between $265,000 and $311,000. Guess what? I sold it for $345,000. You think they're going to give me the top number that they send in that letter? Mm-mm. They aren't going to do it. So watch the gimmicks. Watch the loss leaders. Watch it when people are trying to sit down in front of you. Watch for the tricky rates, Sandy.
Yes, please watch for those.
Watch for the tricky rates. If it looks like a duck, sounds like a duck, what do you think it is?
Duck.
Duck. It ain't a platypus. It's a duck.
Quack.
And they're going to get you. But I turned the corner. As a matter of fact, I turned the corner over off I-74 and went into Shelby. Now, Shelby's pretty cool. What
it
do you
is.
Think?
It is pretty cool.
What do you think? Shelby, downtown Shelby. Spend a day down in downtown Shelby. Now, tree-lined streets, restaurants, antique stores, guy playing a guitar at the stop sign. He was pretty good, too. They are coming around. So it has some upside there. Also, come on down to Gastonia. Why? Downtown Gastonia. Got a great place called Whiskars. Sandy, you've been to Whiskars.
I love Whiskars. Very fun.
Super fun. Got a lot going on. First class place right next to my office in downtown Gastonia, the one there. Love that place and love what's going on. And right across the street, kind of at about 10:30, they're building 87 apartments in downtown Gastonia. That's pretty cool. You know, and going back to Whiskars, you don't have to be a cigar smoker. I'm not. They have an area that whether you smoke cigars or not, you can hang out there and you don't go home smelling like a chimney because they've got some kind of fancy system in that place that, you know, could suck the marrow out of something. But anyway, I'm just saying to you, it's awesome there. It's top-notch, great service. Don't forget about it. And you can go down to a baseball game, the Honey Hunters Baseball. Why they named it Honey Hunters, I don't know. There is an explanation. But anyway, it's good stuff, good day, good walking, good fun. You know, Sandy, you're going to talk about rates today.
Everybody
wants to hear it.
Everybody
wants to talk about it. But before you do, I want to make a statement about rates.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready?
Ready.
Now, Sandy's sitting right next to me, so she's going to do one of two things. She's either going to smack me, which I may deserve, or she's going to agree with me. Sandy.
Yes.
When it comes to rates, I believe we have been living in La La Land.
It's true.
Okay. Whew. So, we have been experiencing rates that have really no economic, financial, fundamental basis for being there other than we bought and paid for those rates.
Yes, we did.
Would you agree?
Yes, we did.
Okay. It is time, in my view, and you won't say it, but I will, that you need to right now understand that these rates, where they are and what they're doing, are there and will help stabilize the real estate market and should be there and are still low for being where they are right now. And you better pick a lender that is also stable right now. There are people, if you look there, and again, Sandy's not saying this. I'm saying this because her company is one of the most stable mortgage companies I've ever seen. There are people laying off people all over the place. Do a Google search for better mortgage right now. You want to pick a lender that is stable, solid, and that when you start your mortgage and you end your mortgage, you do it with the same person. Yes. That's how crazy. So you probably can pick up some new good employees right now.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We have been interviewing, actually.
Yeah. All right. So I have eaten up most of the time. We've got 1 minute left. But here's really where I'm at with this, Sandy. Because, you know, this is your day, your show. So I've said my piece today. But I want to tell you this. Watch the internet. Watch the rate you're looking at. Look at products that make it more flexible for you. And we talked about this in our sales meeting today. If you're thinking the rates will go down, go ahead and lock your mortgage right now and you can refi. But I'm telling you, what we had, we ain't going to get no more. We're not going back to 3%. Those days are over. So be settled with where we are. Know it's a stabilizing factor. and know that you want to partner with somebody like Sandy who is working for a company that has their act together and is solid. It is important. She won't say it, so I will. Don't be a dodo and go with one of those companies that's laying off hundreds of people right now. You're going to get stuck with 10 different people from day to day. All right. The Show Your Real Estate today is going to move forward. Here we go. Sandy Dickinson, Cross Country Mortgage, myself, Paul Jamison, on the Show Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday. Stay with us. We'll be right back. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison here, your host. Happy Saturday! We're so glad you're with us talking real estate. I'm Paul Jamison, owner of the Jamison family of real estate companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, and Jamison Property Investments, here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. Hey, Sandy.
Hey.
All right, so since I just took over the whole first segment, and like Marty Ivey says, you know, Paul, if you would just be quiet, I'd be able to say something. I'm going to be quiet and let you say some things. So, Sandy, what kind of buyer are you?
What kind of buyer am I? I'm conscientious, and I don't look for my rates online. Okay. Sometimes I will say this, when I'm looking to see what other people see, I might Google today's mortgage rates, and whatever just pops up on the screen is pretty true to whatever they are. It's not an online lender. It's not like, hey, teaser rates. It's pretty much where they're at. So the last time I looked, they were 6.7. I wasn't quite that high on my rates, but they only publish that once a day. And let's face it, rates can change 3, 4, 5 times a day. You know, the rate really? That you get quoted is probably the, you're going to have to get quoted again because they're not good for more than a couple minutes these days. The market's just too volatile.
They change that much?
They do. They change all day, every day.
Why?
Because the market changes that much. Well, typically they wouldn't, but right now the market's super volatile. So, I mean, the bonds are up and they're down, and so our rates just follow them throughout the day. And so it's not always significant changes, but you could get a different, you could get an eighth or a quarter different between lenders if you call even an hour between. So find somebody you like and you trust. We all get our rates from the same place, and so there should, they should be very similar. Mm-hmm. Stick with who you like, stick with who you trust, and can get you to the closing table on time, which is very tricky.
Yeah, I think, again, and we talked about this two or three times over the course of this year, you're identifying some real key points there. And I think as we talk about the online lending environment, you pull something up, you don't get the whole picture when you get it on the computer versus working with somebody local and understanding what that rate means, right?
Right, because your credit score, your loan to value, your where you're buying, what type of property you're buying, there's so much that goes into what your rate is. To just look at a blanket rate on a teaser screen is probably not going to be a true rate for you.
Right. Well, one of the things we continue to talk about right now as we talk about a volatile rate environment is the ARM.
Mm-hmm.
ARM rates and ARM options. Can you?
So I looked at one the other day for a client. I looked at a 30-year fix. She was putting a significant amount down. She had a really good credit score, and she was in the high fives on her 30-year fixed rate. And so I also priced her, I think it was a 5 or 7 year ARM. I think it was a 5. And the 5 year ARM was about 0.5% less.
Hmm.
And we're really anticipating, or some people think we're already in a recession. I don't think we are yet, but I believe it's coming with all the inflation and then us, the Fed, trying to slow the market down. And when that happens, we're probably going to see things slow down and maybe some rates come back to a little bit lower. That'll give you refinance opportunities. So if you can get a rate for 5 years, almost 0.5% lower than the 30-year fix, but it still amortized 30 years, so you still have a nice payment. Knowing that you're probably not going to keep that loan more than 5 or 7 years, it might be worth it to look at.
Right. Well, you know, I read an article the other day about rates and about these adjustments that the Fed is making. It's an experiment.
It really is.
And, you know, because our economy is such a big machine with so many different variables. When they do that, it's kind of like when, you throw it out there and then you cover up because you're not sure if it's going to come back to you and hit you in the head.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at trends, and I learned this from the meeting, they look at trends when they start making these adjustments. You know, you can see the trends that move the line back into recession. They're basically tweaking it till they admit there's a recession.
Right. Until they
try to find a balance. I mean,
because that's what'll slow inflation.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it slows a lot of other things too.
Oh boy.
So we still anticipate rates will probably be 7 or 7.5%. I hope they don't get any higher than that. But I think the next Fed rate rise will probably be another 3/4. Interestingly, this last one, after they did it, our rates improved.
Okay. Well,
we are not tied to the Fed funds.
You're tied to the SOFR thing?
Well, we're tied to the 10-year yield typically on the bonds, but the arms are tied to the SOFR.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, it's more complicated than I care to comprehend. I just assume call you, Sandy, and go, what's the rate?
Right.
And you know, let everything else fly. Now, you talked a little bit about buy down.
Yeah. So now we're coming up with a lot of new loan programs because anytime the rates go up, we get a lot of new loan programs. So, and we're seeing some houses sit on the market for a little bit because they thought they could get a bunch more money than they can get because of market slowing. So if you have that case and if you're a seller and you put the house on the market and it's a little bit high, you might think of instead of a price reduction, you might think of offering a buy-down subsidy. So what does that mean? That means if the rates are now 6%, you can offer a 4%, 5% the second year, and then it'll even out at 6% on the third and through the rest of the 30 years. So how do they do that? Say subsidize the payments each year. And the cost of that is only about 2%. So if you have a loan that's, say a purchase price of $445 and you're putting 10% down, your cost of that buy down is about $8,800 or about 1.9 or 2%. So you're coming out a little bit cheaper if you offer that versus dropping your price 5%. Because the drop in price would be 22-something thousand. And your buyer is getting a 4% to start with, which they're super comfortable with, and then a 5% the next year. And by the time it gets to the 6%, you're probably looking at refinancing.
Yeah, so can every lender do that?
I don't think every lender offers that.
Oh, really? So Cross Country Mortgage offers that.
Yes, we do.
And what's the phone number?
704-577-0144.
Okay, so this buy down. So So you bring up another subject. Okay, so we talk about that buy down option as opposed to a price reduction.
Correct.
Okay. So everyone has heard me say the expression, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've priced your house in the hog category,
yes,
the H-A-W-G hog, that's how we say it in South Carolina, the hog category, and the house has sat on the market for more than a week or 10 days. We were talking about it in our sales meeting this morning. Here's what happens. When you walk in with a buyer, here's what happens. The people go, what's wrong with this house? If that house has sat on the market for 10 days, everybody is asking, what's wrong with it?
Mm-hmm.
So here's two things to think about. Number one is if you price the house too low, the market's going to fix it. It's going to raise that price for you. If you're priced too low or under market value, the market's going to fix it. If you're priced too high, the market's going to ignore you.
Yeah.
They're just going to cast you aside. And Don Harris on my team said that today, and it resonates. And if you're in the category of price too high, here is my recommendation to you. If you're sitting on the market now, week, 10 days, no offers, pull the Band-Aid off. Pull it off now. Don't do it in little increments and babies. get that house price where it's supposed to be, grab a hold of the corner of that Band-Aid and yank on it quick and get it over with. If it comes with a little bit of hair, it's coming. Get it off and get the price where it's supposed to be to get that house sold. Because the longer that house sits on the market, the assumption is going to be what's wrong with it. And this buy down, that's an interesting way, because that means if you're close to market value, you can make a small tweak like that by offering an interest rate incentive to make that home more affordable. I like that idea. Who came up with that?
That's so old school, I can't even tell you, because we used to have them all the time, and now they're back.
I can't believe, I mean, I've not heard that expression for years.
Yeah. Well, we haven't used them. We haven't had buy-downs because how do you buy down a 2% rate? 2%,
you'll be at zero. I'm going to get you 1% the first year. Woo!
Yeah, I don't think the lenders were willing to do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sandy and I have got, we're going to talk about what about some closing costs, and we're going to talk about things going on around the mortgage. And if you are self-employed, we want to talk to you, too, about how to keep and stay prepared to get a mortgage. The Show Your Real Estate Today, Sandy Dickinson over at Cross Country, myself, Paul Jamison, and we're spending Saturday on the Show Your Real Estate Today. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
The guitar lessons are paying off. I just want you to know. I thought they were pretty good. What did you think?
Yeah.
I'm getting better, Sandy?
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
I don't know who that was, but I've been working on it.
I've been working on it. You know, and actually, you can't see, I was playing the guitar behind my back doing that. So I'm getting pretty good. But don't ask me for more.
Impressive.
All right, don't ask for an encore. All right, the Show Your Real Estate Today. Welcome. If you're just tuning in, thank you. We like spending Saturday with you. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. And I'm the owner of the Jamison Real Estate Companies. That's Realty Property Management, Property Investments. And here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. You know, Sandy, I'm going to switch.
Okay.
I want to talk about first. So sorry for those that were hanging for the teaser for the other, but I'm switching. We're going to talk about self-employed because taxes, tax returns, how you prepare, if you want to buy a house, refinance your house, do anything related to real estate or mortgage lending, being self-employed puts us on the special bus.
Yes, it does.
Of circumstances that we need to provide, right?
That's right.
So give me some things that you think as an entrepreneur, and I say entrepreneur because the manure always ends up in my lap, not anybody else's, that you think the entrepreneur needs to know.
Okay. First of all, you need to use a tax accountant or some sort of an accountant to do your tax return, because I have gotten numerous returns where the income is in the wrong place, and then it's,
what?
Oh my gosh, can we use it, or where is it, or where did it come from? People get very inventive with their tax returns. I had someone put 1099 income on their W-2 line, and then it just, the underwriters are like, what's happening? And even though I can see kind of what they did, the underwriters don't like that. So use an accountant, and so you get it right. Plus, you'll probably come out better in the end if you use one. Tax liability wise. And speaking of tax liability, we have to prove that you've paid your tax liability. So be prepared to provide that canceled check or that receipt from the IRS. If you don't, they're going to wonder if you've paid it and are you on a payment plan. And if you're on a payment plan, we've got to have a copy of that plan. So all that is just the tip of the iceberg. So we have to have your personal and your business returns. Federal only, all pages including schedules. We don't care about worksheets, but we need the schedules because there's information on there that we pull from. Sometimes we can add stuff back to help your income, but we have to see the whole thing. many people send me the first two pages and they say, you don't need the rest. I do need the rest. I need the whole thing. I have to really analyze, like, we're loaning you money. We have to know how much money you make. And if you haven't filed your taxes, we need your extension, a copy of your extension. And that you paid your liability, because extending the tax return doesn't mean you don't have to pay your liability on time. So we have to have that. No, no. It just allows you more time to file the tax return. So if you own more than one business and you're more than 25% owner, we have to have the tax return. So
you do.
Yeah. So if you're like, I don't really do a lot with that business, or it doesn't really do much, but you own more than 25%, we still have to have that tax return. And then we need...
Can I just send you a PDF?
Of the whole thing, yes.
Okay. I don't want to do printouts and go to the scanner.
No, no. And we have a portal. You can upload them securely. So even if they're 500 pages, which I have seen... You can still upload those tax returns.
Okay, so let me set the stage for a minute, because Sandy has done my loans and I have five different companies. And so one of the reasons why she wants everything is not because she's harassing me, although it very well may be a small amount of that, is because she'll go into my tax returns and be able to add things back that count as income. They count toward that don't count against me, right? Add backs.
Right. So I've had people show $1 million loss and most of it was depreciation, and I add that back and they don't have a loss anymore. I have to see all the detail, honestly.
Okay. Did you go to tax school?
I did not, but I feel like I have after 30
something
years.
But you had a good night's
sleep
last night?
Yeah. After a lot of years of doing these, like what I find is a lot of loan officers do not know how to analyze a tax return.
Why do you need P&Ls?
You need P&Ls because
you got my tax return.
I know, but the tax return ends at the end of the year, typically, unless it's a fiscal year. And then I need to see if your business is still on track this year. And it's still doing well. So we need the P&Ls to make sure that you haven't had a decline in income, because a decline in income is a kiss of death in the mortgage business.
And also, you said to me at one point, there are some products out there that purely look at your bank statements.
Yep. We have bank statement programs now where all you provide is 12 months of bank statements. We add up your deposits and we divide it by 12, and that's your income. So we can do that if you're one of those people that write everything off, but you do show a lot of deposits from your self-employment.
Okay. Well, isn't that easier?
It's easier, but it's more expensive on the rate. Yeah. So you're going to be paying a higher rate, and you're going to be paying points. We also have no documentation loans where you don't have to disclose your employment. No ratio loans, and loans that are just based on assets. So we've got a lot of good stuff. Yeah. But you will have to have a down payment on those. Like, you can't do a 5 or 10% down payment on those. You got to have a lot of skin in the game, and you have to have some pretty good credit.
Okay, so speaking of down payment, I digress. So speaking of down payment, what is the standard of down payment still like a good down payment, like 20%?
Well, 20% will get you out of mortgage insurance, but
I thought they were going to change that at some point where they made it 15 or what?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, really?
But less money down gets you more return on your investment.
Well, but you got that PMI thing.
Yeah, but it's not that expensive.
Can you pay it all up front like you used to be able to?
Yep, you can do that. You can finance it. You can pay it all in a single premium. Your seller can pay it.
Ooh,
oh, hello.
Wait a minute. Another buy-down option at Cross Country Mortgage. Have your PMI paid for by the...
Seller. And that's unconventional loans.
Unconventional.
Mm-hmm.
So if they've got a 95.5, the seller can pay
the... premium. Mm-hmm.
Single premium. Ooh. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Yeah, so most people just see it in their payment. Sometimes we have a lender paid where we finance it in. There's a lot of options. Most people go with the monthly, the borrower you know, monthly payment, because eventually once you pay down enough, you can get rid of it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting in the market and the way that it's transitioning with rates right now. We're seeing a lot of offers coming through that are FHA and VA.
More.
Yeah, they had been sitting on the bench before.
Yes, they were.
Because they're at, like, the back of the bus. Now we're seeing more of them come through. And we got an FHA loan in on one of our listings the other day that had a really nice due diligence amount. And the people were also working with Ribbon.
Hmm.
So you've talked about that before, where they're presenting an offer and it's cash.
Right. So
but underneath it was an FHA loan.
And that, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I wouldn't be afraid of that.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's guaranteed by Ribbon, all cash, if it for some reason that doesn't get financed. Tell me about appraisals right now, too. And, you know, you've got like some superpowers when it comes to appraisals.
Well, appraisal-wise, we always worry about appraisals, and we have our own panel of appraisers, so we rarely have a problem with appraisals. I mean, if it comes in low, the realtor's anticipating that it's going to come in low. So we like to use our local people that we know and like, and then if we have a problem with it, we can always go back and ask them questions or provide them with more information, and sometimes it makes a difference.
Yeah. I think it does. I think it makes a lot of difference if you really want to know the truth, because you're getting more of a local expert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not as much like the box of chocolates with Forrest Gump.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
At least you know what you're going to get. If you bite into a caramel, you're getting a caramel.
Now, we can't pick VA appraisers. But interestingly, with VA, if they're going to come in low, they send us something called a Tidewater.
Yes. I've heard about that.
Yeah, and that allows the agents to provide information to prove their case on their value.
Yeah. The only thing I'm really not happy with related to VA appraisers is some of them are wannabe home inspectors, and that doesn't bode as well with me. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like, look, you see something, say something, but don't, like, put on a rubber suit and go underneath the house and all of a sudden start writing up stuff you don't know anything about. Let the home inspector do that. Stick with appraising. All right. So that's good to know. All right. Well, we're going to come back more with Sandy Dickinson. Now we're going to talk about mortgage closing costs. And I'm Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison Family of Companies. Stay with us. We got lots more to talk about. It's Saturday. It's Real Estate Day. We'll be right back. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back, friends, to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Hey, it's Paul Jamison. Thank you for spending Saturday with us, because we're talking real estate, and we love talking about that with you, and we love talking about things that are going on in your market that affect your world, and that's important to us. And I'm here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage, and of course, I'm Paul Jamison, and I'm the owner of Jamison Realty. If you're a buyer or seller right now, and you really want to know what's going on and what's happening, we want to talk to you. If you're an investor, you're sitting in your seat going, man, I just looked at my stock account and it looks like an EKG from a cross-country runner. You know, you want to talk about investing in real estate to diversify your portfolio. We're happy to talk about it with you. And you want to learn and you want to do it, but you don't want the hassles. Jamison Property Management is there for you. You know, this show, and the reason I started this show was to share the knowledge and experience that I have gained around working in real estate, and Sandy does the same. We both are working really hard to serve our clients, and there's just things that go on. I was talking today to somebody about jet skis, of all things. I don't know what I don't know about jet skis. You know, do you let the motor run a little bit when you get it out of the water? Why does it work this way? What happens if it flips over? How much gas should you put in? Do you make it full? Do you not make it full? Are there things to worry about? How do you trim it? Do you trim it higher when it goes through the waves or lower? You know, so I don't know what I don't know. So I'm trying to learn, and I'm getting around people that understand that. Why would I use a jet ski analogy around real estate? Well, it's kind of the same thing. If you don't know about something, hang around with people that know stuff about something. I don't know a lot about mortgages, but Sandy does. So if I have a question, I have an encyclopedia of mortgages sitting right next to me that I can ask. Okay? And one of those things is getting into it, and what is this sucker going to cost? And what are the fees and the things around it that affect the mortgage? I talk and talk and talk and talk and talk about getting your realtor or getting your mortgage lender online. You need somebody on the ground to say, you better be prepared for da 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 da. One of the things that you got to be prepared for is a reminder. I have a speech that I give every buyer before, what is it, Sandy? The minute they apply for the mortgage. Don't go out and get new credit. Don't charge up your credit cards. Don't buy a car. Talk to Sandy before you buy anything over $1,500 or whatever the number is that you tell me. You know, don't do those things because we get to the closing table, they're going to pull your credit and look and see what you've done, did, or do.
Mm-hmm.
So don't. I did that all in my own little brain,
that?
George. How about that?
Amazing.
Yeah, how about that? All right. What are the fees? What are the costs?
Well, there's several costs involved, and most of them are not ours. So when you're comparing lender to lender, note that all those fees are not ours. Everybody, for the most part, is going to require an appraisal. We haven't been getting a lot of appraisal waivers lately.
Appraisals, yeah, I haven't seen one in a good while.
Yeah, they're around $650. Inspection fees, we typically don't require inspections, but most realtors feel like it's a good idea to get them, and I think it is too, just in case there's something major wrong with the house. You don't want to jump into a money pit.
And you're going to spend about $750 to $800 on inspections, depending on the size and age of the house. Okay.
So then we have in North Carolina, now these fees are called different things in every state. For North Carolina, we have typically a commitment and application fee. We just lump them together and call them origination fees.
Okay.
So those are things like tax service fee, underwriting document prep. We have to pull a fraud report on everybody. We have to check to make sure you haven't gotten another mortgage, like you're not buying two primary houses in 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
We have a lot of, like, every time I run your loan through an automated underwriting system, there's a fee. There's a bunch of fees that we have to deal with. So all that's lumped together. And I think an average is around $1,500. Ours is around $1,100. That's all those incorporated into one. The state of North Carolina does not want us splitting them out. They think it's confusing, and they're called different things. So we like to lump them all together.
Okay.
And they require us to do that.
So if I do a one loan and then I come back and do another loan in 6 months, do you have to do all that stuff again?
Yes, that's okay. Always done, because it tells me what properties you own. Like, if you're going to do a loan for Paul Jamison and he's buying properties, or he has 72,000 of them and he missed two of them, I'm going to catch him.
Oh, that's funny. Well, the one thing that's always weird is when they do those reports, the great state of Mecklenburg County doesn't update their records very often. It takes about a year, right?
Mm-hmm, that's true.
And so she pulls her little fancy spancy report and she goes, why don't you have this property on your list? Why don't you have this property on your list? Why don't you have that? Well, it's because I don't own them. Well, the Mecklenburg County says that they're on your little list there. So just know that it's a little bit of back and forth, because records have to be updated in order to make that
correct.
But I get it. I mean, you
and we can
do
get around it with
right?
a copy of a HUD or a CD. I mean, but it is more documentation. The more you own, the more self-employed, you might as well figure we're going to be getting a lot of paper.
That's true. And also attorney's fees, right? That can vary.
So attorney fees vary. North Carolina is, I think, a little cheaper than South Carolina. Every attorney has their own set of fees, and we have to collect those. And we don't collect them, but we have to put them on our estimate.
Right.
Because it is part of the cost of closing a loan. So attorney fees, which is title searches, title updates, whatever they charge, recording fees, title insurance, owner and lender insurance, they all have, sometimes they have a courier fee, sometimes they have an e-record fee. There's all kinds of fees that they have. Those are all attorney fees that we put into certain sections on the estimate. So we don't have control over those. We just have to list them for you.
Right. One of the fees that's not on here, too, is the fees that maybe an HOA may charge, right?
Right.
A capital fee or...
Exactly. So, yeah. And sometimes we know about them and sometimes we don't. But if you're buying a condominium, we have to usually do, we have to order documents through a company called HomeWise or through the HOA management company, and they charge for that. So that's an extra maybe $300-$400 sometimes.
Yeah, can
which
be.
Is annoying to me, but
annoying. All right. What about interest and loan?
Yeah. So
escrow,
your daily interest from the date you close through the end of the month. Say you're closing the middle of July. So we collect from the 15th through the 31st. Because that's when you'll have the loan, and then your payment, first payment will not be due until September 1st. When you make your September payment, you pay your August interest. It's paid for the month before.
Right.
So we do collect some money at closing for interim interest. We collect for a full year of homeowner's insurance because there's nothing in your escrow account collected to pay those. So they're like, why am I paying up front and you're collecting money? Because we have to have a full year in place, and then we start collecting toward the next year. And we want 12 months in there, 12 twelfths the month before that payment is due.
And property taxes too, right?
Same with taxes. Those are, we collect, you know, depending on when they're due. So we'll have enough in there for 12 months, but the seller will give you a credit for their portion that they own the house for the year. Mm-hmm. So,
living there. Yeah.
So those are fees that, yeah, those aren't costs of the loan, but you're going to be paying all that anyway, if you don't get a loan, but we do put that on there.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think they're all things that you factor in. Your realtor can do what's called a seller net sheet for you as well on the seller side to kind of say, this is approximately what you will walk away with when you sell your house.
Right. And we like to have those if you're selling something in order to buy the next house.
Yeah.
Then we don't have to wait on a copy of the CD or whatever. I like those net sheets.
I do too. And we typically prepare them. But on the buyer side, their buyer net sheet is typically produced by Sandy when they disclose the loan.
That's right.
So getting the fees and the different parts of it. If Sandy, if somebody wants to talk to you about a mortgage and wants to talk to you about how to step forward and what options they have, tell them about what to do.
Yeah, so just call my cell phone or my mobile, 704-577-0144. That's the best way to reach me. You can text it as well because that is a mobile number. Emailing is a little more difficult for me because I'm not always sitting at my desk, but I do have a bunch of team members that can help.
Right. But, you know, I've had two people this week, Sandy, say about you that you're a different kind of loan officer.